How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every weekend, Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern, Sundays at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, the American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, streaming online at WrestlingObserver.com, SportsByline.com, the most listened to pro wrestling and mixed martial arts radio show in the world. Big weekend here for a variety of reasons, in fact. Tomorrow is the Super Bowl, and as a result, we will be here at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, but we will be doing a one-hour show, give everybody time to go watch the Super Bowl afterwards. I was actually shocked the other day. I realize the Super Bowl is a big deal, particularly here in Seattle with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, but I have a Mongolian grill that I eat at most every day, and imagine my shock when I showed up at the Mongolian Grill yesterday and there was a big sign on the door saying the entire grill shut down Sunday. All day it is shut down because they want to go home and watch the Super Bowl. So we'll be here for an hour on Sunday, and then you can go watch the Super Bowl. And in the next segment, in about 3 minutes, we have a very, very big announcement here on this program as well. So stick around for that. In addition, it is UFC tonight, the return of perhaps the greatest fighter of all time. Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz is on the show tonight. Card is heavy, so to speak, as Kelvin Gastelum managed to miss weight by 9 pounds. Don't even ask me how that's possible. And John Lineker, I believe, missed weight by 5 pounds. So we can talk about this issue with folks missing weight here on the program tonight. We can talk about Anderson Silva versus Nick Diaz. And obviously in pro wrestling news, the Royal Rumble was last weekend. Roman Reigns won, as pretty much everybody expected. We can talk about the fallout of that. Hunter also has a big announcement tomorrow. Whose big announcement is more exciting, mine or Triple H's? We'll find out after the break. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com, joined as always by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And let us not waste any time. Very excited to make an announcement here today on Wrestling Observer Live. As many of you are aware, we're here every weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific and 6 Eastern. And a couple of weeks ago, leading into the Royal Rumble, we went a full week. 9 straight days is what we did on Sports Byline USA. We went Monday through Friday leading into the Royal Rumble. And we had been talking with Sports Byline about doing week-long series heading into both the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Well, as it turns out, that 1 week was very, very successful. Listeners seemed to love it. It was a very fun time for Mike and I. And we have now decided that beginning on February 23rd, Wrestling Observer Live is going to air 6 days a week live on Sports Byline USA. Monday through Friday, we are going to be here live at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. That is noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sports Byline USA, Monday through Friday for an hour. There will be a replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern. And Sundays, we will remain in our traditional pre-pay-per-view time slot of 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. So that is 6 days a week live here on Sports Byline USA, Sirius Satellite Radio, American Forces Network, Cable Radio Network, etc., etc. So once again, that will start February 23rd. So not this coming Monday, but on February 23rd, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, we will be here talking all of the news in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, taking all your phone calls, and certainly no better time to start as we will be about a month away from WrestleMania. And if things continue on as they've continued on this week, Mike, an hour may not be long enough, but that's going to be how it's going to be. We will continue all of our normal shows at WrestlingObserver.com as well. We're not cutting any of the programming for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. So if you love all the audio shows, you're going to get more than ever starting on February 23rd. Mike, I hope you're ready.
I am ready. We are here for you people. And you know what? all of the stuff that goes on every single day in MMA and in professional wrestling, it's kind of a needed thing, and who better than us?
Who better than us, says Mike.
Really?
That's right. The phones are ringing right now, but we're not going to pick any of them up yet. We're going to wait a while. So if you're calling, stand by. Probably after the next commercial break, we'll start taking your phone calls. We got too much news to talk about.
I know we got to talk about what Brian's going to usually eat at Mongolian barbecue that he's going to be starved out of tomorrow because the Super Bowl is closing the place.
I know. It's a sad. I can't even believe it. I'm shocked they were shut down.
Why don't you just set up a stone in your own house and heat that up and chop up some chunks of vegetables and get a lamb and sacrifice that and grill it up on there and just begin your own if you're going to miss it that much.
I've thought about it, but I've got a studio here in the house. I work here at the house, and I've had periods where I make my own lunch and I stay here at the house. And it's kind of like, I'd rather leave. Give me an excuse to get out of here. That's why I go to my favorite grill. They know me there. They give me a free drink every time I go in. It's great.
Now, do they flip food in your mouth like a hibachi place? I don't think I've ever been to a Mongolian barbecue.
Do they flip food into my mouth?
Yeah, so because you know, like in the Japanese hibachi restaurants, they chop it up, throw it in your face.
So like I'm a bird and they feed me?
Yeah, you've never seen that when you know they'll take a shrimp and just, you know, the person at the end of the table, the guy will flip it in your mouth?
No. They do flip it on the grill and bring it to me, but they don't feed me like I'm a baby robin or something.
Does anyone look like Killer Khan?
Unfortunately, no. But hey, they rotate him in and out. Now, speaking of food, I know we've got to talk about the Royal Rumble. That's very high on everybody's mind, but I got to talk about this Kelvin Gastelum guy. God bless the guy. But I want to read something here. This was up at MMAfighting.com. His coach, Chance Farrar, is talking about how he missed weight. And I just want to read some of this right here. UFC embedded cameras caught Gastelum at 179 pounds Friday morning. Farrar said Gastelum got down to 174. By the way, he was trying to make 170, everybody. He got down to 174 a few hours later, only 3 pounds off the welterweight maximum, well within striking distance of the mark. When Gastelum and his team returned to the hotel room, though, things went horribly wrong. Farrar, the head coach of Yuma MMA, said Gastelum, quote, became non-responsive and began vomiting. I apologize to everybody if you're eating breakfast right now. Farrar told MMAfighting.com he was not vomiting food. It was more like mucus. He was in a bad state where he couldn't even get himself off the floor. I had to pick him up. I was scared. I've never had an athlete do that before. That's the long and short of it. I was thinking the fight was off. There's no way this guy is fighting. It's done. That was kind of the attitude. Maybe it was a bit quick to make that decision, but that's how I felt at the time. They took him to the doctor. He was hospitalized. They rehydrated him. They gave him medications. And the story here, Farrar said, was he had been sick earlier in the week. He had had some sort of illness. That's what made it very, very hard for him to make weight. And believe it or not, after missing weight by 9 pounds, Kevin Gastelum is still fighting here tonight on the show.
Why?
I don't even know what to say about this.
If he was that bad off, why?
I don't know. I'm astonished. He's not the only guy that didn't make weight. John Lineker, for I believe the third time in his career, missed weight.
It may be the fifth time, actually, when it comes to John Lineker. It has been a ridiculous number of times. In fact, it is the fifth time that he's missed weight.
All I got to say about this whole thing is Anthony Rumble Johnson used to try to make 170. 170, everybody. He missed weight so many times that he was fired. He was fired from the UFC because he could not make weight. He went elsewhere. He also couldn't make weight. Finally, Anthony Rumble Johnson just decided, screw it. I'll fight at 205. And in his last fight, he went in there and he absolutely destroyed Alexander Gustafsson, fighting at 205. I know that there's a mindset in mixed martial arts that you got to prove that you can cut as much weight as possible and get down as low as possible, and that's what gives you a fighting chance in this sport. But just fight heavier. Just fight heavier. Especially if you're a guy, if you feel that you're really one of the best in the world and you're a really, really great fighter, why do you have to cut so much weight and essentially go in there trying to bully around people that are smaller than you? If you're so great at fighting, just fight close to your natural weight. It's in some ways, there are some guys that they feel, you know what, this is the wave of the future. Quit cutting so much weight. Every time people cut, how do you think Kevin Gastelum is going to feel going into the fight tonight? You think he's going to feel great because he missed weight by 9 pounds? Even if the guy had made weight, you know he's going to go into the fight feeling terrible. You know that John Lineker is going into his fights feeling terrible. Yes, he made weight. Yes, he's now heavier than maybe the other guy going into the cage, but you feel terrible. And I think that more and more guys are going to realize, you know what? I feel better in the fight when I don't cut so much weight. There are some guys that are starting to have this mindset, and I hope that it carries through this sport.
Yeah, but that's the way it's always been done. You know, that's the thing you have to fight over, guys who, you know, especially who wrestled and who had to deal with weight limits for so long, even though they have rules against this in college because people have died, even though, and I always bring this one up, Arturo Gatti went into his fight with Joey Gamache in boxing about 20 pounds over the 140-pound weight class. You know, it was the last time he ever stepped on an unofficial scale for HBO, and he almost killed Joey Gamache. It ended his boxing career. Bad things can happen, and bad things can happen to these people individually, and I know we can talk about it coming out of the break, but in a situation like Gastelum or even like Lineker, you can't kill the entire fight card, but you can certainly take them off of it and actually have the legitimate excuse that it's for their own good and for their own health.
All right, everybody, we went ahead to the break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this UFC show tonight. Anderson Silva returning, and then Royal Rumble, WWE, and so much more. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. As noted in the opening segment, beginning on February 23rd, permanently, Wrestling Observer Live will be airing Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on Sports Byline USA, as well as retaining the traditional Sunday afternoon time slot at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, 6 days a week live with all sorts of replays on Sports Byline USA as well. All that information is going to be up momentarily on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. That was the big announcement, and we'll see what Triple H's big announcement is on Monday on Raw. But before we get into WWE, tonight is Anderson Silva's return after a vicious, violent leg break. He will be facing Nick Diaz, and it's going to be an interesting fight. Diaz is amazingly in Las Vegas right now, so the fight is going to go on. And Mike, what is your prediction as far as who is going to win this fight?
Can I just be annoyed over something else first?
Sure.
Anthony Rumble Johnson. Every single time they show Anthony Rumble Johnson highlights, they always show the knockout he had against Yoshiyuki Yoshida. And I don't know if you remember that fight. It was in 2009. It was UFC 104 at the, I think it was at the Staples Center. And he knocked him out in 41 seconds, which on paper looks impressive. The thing there is he came into the fight. Now, this fight was supposed to be at 170 pounds. He weighed in at some incredibly high weight. I think it was like he may have been pushing 180. I can't remember what. It was about 177 he weighed in at. And by the time the fight took place and he actually rehydrated more, he was like 190 pounds at least probably going into that fight. And he almost killed the guy. And yes, it's a highlight reel knockout, but I don't think that's something. And granted, nobody probably remembers this. So when you have it in a cut up highlight package, it probably people don't care. They miss it. But that's kind of a ridiculous thing to hype up considering how unfair of a fight it was. And then the worst part about that was he got knockout of the night. So how do you sacrifice 20% of your purse to a guy? You come in there 20 pounds probably heavier than that guy is, and you knock him out in 41 seconds in what really is an unfair fight. It doesn't make any sense, but that's just me bitching, moaning, and complaining there. But on to Silva and Diaz. I'm going with Anderson Silva. I like Nick Diaz a lot. I think Nick Diaz can cause lots of different problems for Silva, and obviously with Silva being off for 2 years, having the leg injury – you know, this really, I wouldn't bet on this fight because you never know what could happen. Silva's, you know, very old at this point in fighting years, as talented and as great as he is. But I just, it's hard to bet against it. He's like George St. Pierre and John Jones and lots of other guys. Hard to bet against a guy until you see him actually get beaten. I know he's been beaten by Chris Weidman, but unless it's somebody else other than Weidman beats him, I'm not going to believe it until I see it.
Well, we got some phone calls here. Let's take one of these and we'll start talking about the Royal Rumble and Raw. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
What's up, Ryan?
I give you my Triple H prediction on what his announcement said.
If it involves Brian Ladd, no. I'm just kidding. What's his announcement?
He'll be like the Beatles and try to go 8 days a week to top us.
That's right.
The match at WrestleMania, one of them is going to be Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton, which is the two guys that never got their title shot. And they will earn a main event match at WrestleMania between the winner of the Roman Reigns Brock Lesnar match. And the championship matches will involve two referees, CM Punk and John Jones.
That is, you should have called for the prediction show because that is, as they say, going out on a limb.
Well, they're basically just copying the WrestleMania 10 idea, plus John Jones already told us half the storyline anyway.
I see. Well, Ryan, that is as good a prediction as any. I want to thank you very much for the call. You know what's funny is I was just thinking about this. The Royal Rumble, for those of you that didn't see it, which I think would probably be about zero of you, at least unaware of what happened, Roman Reigns won. Daniel Bryan was in it. They had a brilliant idea of having Daniel Bryan be eliminated at number 15, and then just 3 guys later, they brought in Roman Reigns, thus guaranteeing that Roman Reigns would be booed out of the building, which he was. Roman Reigns won. And what's funny is it occurred to me when Ryan called, all of these fans on Monday are going to be hoping that Triple H's announcement somehow involves getting Daniel Bryan into the main event of Mania. And that's not going to happen. And all they're doing is they're going to make people upset again at the detriment of poor Roman Reigns.
He's trolling people on national TV.
Yeah, basically. Well, no, I don't think they mean to do it. I think that when they announce that Roman Reigns is going to have to earn his shot, all these fans are going to think, oh my God, maybe this is the chance for Daniel Bryan to take his spot or to get added to the match or something like that. That's not going to happen. I would say it's 95% a guarantee that Daniel Bryan is facing Dolph Ziggler at WrestleMania. He's not going to be in the championship match. He's not going to be fighting for a championship shot. This is all people are going to want to see now if he makes that announcement that Roman has to earn his way into it.
I refuse to believe at this point that they would not know what they're doing, considering they kept bringing up the quote-unquote controversy of Roman Reigns winning the Royal Rumble. Now, they never mentioned anything about The Rock going in there to help him out. You know, that would be okay if you want to say there's controversy and not mention Daniel Bryan or not mention the fans' reaction. It would have been because of that, but they didn't, which means they know exactly what they're doing. They may have not have known any of what they were doing leading into the thing, which is obvious and is a whole complete separate issue with them putting Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble in Philadelphia and not realizing that there could be a problem with that.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Paul from Winnipeg calling. How are you?
What's up, Paul? Turn me down, please.
I don't have you on.
Oh, I hear my own echo.
I'm on a landline. Maybe that's the issue. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. But, yeah, I'm on a landline. Listen, is it possible, and this isn't why the main reason I called, but just a quick point, is it possible that the reason they never actually said what the controversy was, that it's going to be something stupid like, oh, Curtis Axel wasn't in, and that they'll end up putting Curtis Axel against Roman Reigns for the title shot just as a joke to, you know, kind of an FU to the fans?
I would say that was possible if they were going heel with Roman Reigns and Roman Reigns was part of the Authority or something like that. If somebody from the Authority had won the Rumble, I can see Triple H trolling people by saying the big controversy is Curtis Axel never even made it to the ring. But because, I mean, if you watched that SmackDown show and you watched Raw, I mean, in their minds, Roman Reigns is the big-time babyface. Doesn't matter if people are booing him. He's the babyface. He's going to Mania, so they got to make it difficult for the babyface. So maybe that's what they'll announce, but I think that would have made more sense if, for example, I don't know, Big Show had been in the Rumble and won, and he's a member of the Authority.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's just something that just occurred to me. And they were promoting the fact on Twitter, anyways, that, you know, Curtis Axel was claiming that he should be getting the title shot. But actually, the reason I called, and I haven't heard anyone...
God, what a lame announcement that would be, by the way. If that were the announcement, oh my God.
No, I agree. What I was thinking about during the Rumble, it wasn't last year's Rumble. What this reminded me of was the Elimination Chamber match at the December to Dismember pay-per-view, when they had everyone watching that wanted CM Punk to win. And they brought CM Punk in early, had him eliminated before all the guys were even in the match, and then Lashley won the thing, which nobody wanted, and he was Vince's chosen guy, and they had him set up for WrestleMania, and it was even Big Show in at the end, and I believe it was Test and not Kane, but, you know, and that's what this reminded me of.
That's what Vince does. You got to have your guy go up against a big giant at the end. The finish, I want to thank you very much for the call. The finish of the Royal Rumble was such a classic Vince McMahon deal. You had the good-looking chosen guy at the end of the match against two giants and an evil Russian, and he overcomes all of the odds, and he gets linked up with The Rock. What could be more Vince McMahon than that? And everybody turned on it.
Even got the Russian out of there.
Yeah, everything. Literally, in Vince McMahon's mind, you could not have created a better scenario for Roman Reigns to win. Which amazes me. I talked about this briefly, but how in God's name do you eliminate Daniel Bryan at number 15 and think that the fans will be over it by the time number 19 comes out? I mean, come on, you idiot. I mean, literally, you got to be an idiot to think that that's going to work. If Daniel Bryan had come in at number 1 and you eliminated him at number 5, and then you had 13 nobodies come out for the Rumble, and number 14 was finally a big star, Roman Reigns, you know what? Maybe people would have cheered him. But instead, you eliminated Bryant at 15, and less than 5 minutes later, out comes Roman Reigns. Of course this guy is going to be booed, you numbskulls.
Yeah, and that's, you know, and what did Roman Reigns do in the Rumble? Nothing. I mean, they would have been better off having Bryan come in, like you said, at like 5, be eliminated by like Bubba Ray Dudley or somebody who was a surprise or something like that to make it shocking. Fine if it's even going to be Bray Wyatt, but later on, Roman Reigns should have been the guy way down the line that ended up eliminating Bray Wyatt and getting him out of there, because, again, the whole thing didn't make any sense. The fact, very simply, that it never, ever dawned on them for the second straight year. If we put Bryan in the Rumble in Philadelphia, what problems will that cause for us trying to make Roman Reigns get him to the pinnacle? All they had to do was wait, bring him back in February, don't put him in the Rumble. Whatever it was, they did it wrong for the second straight year, and it makes no sense.
All right, stand by, everybody. Callers on hold, stand by as well. Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Saturday and Sunday for now. Saturday mornings, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern. Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. And starting on February 23rd, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, every single day, Wrestling Observer Live. And, of course, for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, you can always head to WrestlingObserver.com. We have twice daily shows up there on the website, and that will not change with us moving to Monday through Friday. If you're a fan of this program and you just can't get enough, well, if you subscribe, there's too much for you to get enough of. Over 6,000 audio shows available in the archives. 2 brand new shows every day only for subscribers. All of it available at WrestlingObserver.com. We have interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of wrestling. 3 shows a week with Dave Meltzer. The Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Figure 4 Weekly. The Brian and Vinny Show. The Adam and Mike Big Audio Nightmare as well. Tons and tons of new shows, tons and tons of archived shows, all available at WrestlingObserver.com. It's just $10.99 a month. If you love this show, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check that out today. Lots of people calling, so let's head to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hey, you're on the air. What's up, Patrick? Hello?
This is John from...
Oh, John. Yeah. Sorry. I thought you were somebody else. John, what's going on? You're Vinny V's biggest fan. I get confused.
Yes, this is the biggest Vinny V, Mark. It's nice to talk to the sixth most intelligent man and the 10th most intelligent man of the Big Four Empire, man.
Wow.
Am I 6 or 10?
You're 6.
Oh, well, thank you. I guess that's a little bit better than what I thought. I won't get won't become enraged then.
I'm the 10th smartest guy.
Yeah, you're, Brett Kremen is ahead of you.
I hope you know that I have my finger on the dump button right now. I'll threaten my way up to number one. What's going on?
Can I ask you a question, Brian, about this poorly booked Royal Rumble pay-per-view?
You may.
And I talk, is Vince, and this is also also about Vince McMahon. Is Vince McMahon that conceited? Is Vince McMahon really that conceited to think that if you put Brian Daniel, I keep calling him Brian Danielson. I'm sorry, Daniel Bryan in this match and give him a quick exit? And basically, the four biggest popular wrestlers that was on that card, quick exits. You think that Roman Reigns will have a easy will be pushed that well, Mr. Everest? I'm just kidding, because every fan favorite that has a cult following in the WWE, Bryan, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, who else, and Miz Dow, was treated like a geek, and I don't get it. Is Vince McMahon that conceited?
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I got most of that. Yes, I think that Vince McMahon is that conceited. He thought this was a brilliant idea. Now, to be fair, there were people that expected that Roman Reigns was going to get booed in Philadelphia because he was winning and Daniel Bryan was losing. But nobody expected that he was going to be booed to the degree that he got booed. That was surprising to them. So, yes, really? Vince thought that was a great idea.
This is the problem with, and we talked about this a lot, especially after Vince's interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And I this is not about ageism, but at 70 years old, with all of the yes men that he has around him, much like the Roman Reigns promos, much like how he looks at quote unquote millennials, much like a lot of things, this was an example of this older gentleman needing some new eyes. I'm not saying Vince McMahon should not be part of the creative process at all. It's his company. Whether you would want him to or not, he is going to be there. What is needed is someone to get to him and to somebody who has his trust to at least be a new set of eyeballs, because that's ridiculous. For them not to believe that Brian going quote-unquote home to his Ring of Honor base in Philadelphia, who's got the most rabid fan base in the world, who will turn on, you know, a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. You should have known. You knew this. You knew this was an issue. That's why they decided to go and call The Rock. But still, how that whole thing was booked. Yes, they may have not known it was going to be that bad, but the fact that it happened in the first place is a problem. It's a big problem. And again, I'm not trying to push the guy out of his own company. It doesn't matter if you try to anyway. He won't be going anywhere. It's a matter of somebody needs to get to someone in that company and realize that eyes are needed on the scripts, on the formats, on how this, you know, how angles are produced, the whole nine yards. It's ridiculous. We're seeing errors in WWE that we never saw before. How many production issues have they had with missed shots or things like that? It doesn't, again, these things didn't happen before. And they, with everything that they have, they should be in far better position. They should not be rewriting scripts at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night, or even leading into Raw. That was something WCW did. And I'm not trying to compare them to WCW, but it does show that there are real problems there that probably need to be patched up and fixed.
Well, keep in mind, they just announced that they hit 1 million subscribers on the network. They're in a great mood right now.
I will, and I'm not doubting that. I'm somewhat doubting those numbers as far as if they actually have 1 million current subscribers. because the timing of that was very interesting. You know, in the span of 24 hours or less than 24 hours after all of the negative feedback, you know, I'm sorry, the blizzard on the East Coast that only affected New England, you know, is driving numbers. I'm not sure I really believe that number as far as having 1 million current active subscribers.
I know you're skeptical, but let me tell you something. I was skeptical that the numbers were going to be high because there was a point where WWE was offering their free week gimmick. And they were plugging and plugging and plugging, no credit card required. And I thought that the Monday or the November gimmick was the same deal when they offered November for free. I thought all you had to do was go on there and watch the thing. I didn't think that you had to put in your credit card or anything like that. But you did. And I can tell you from the special that we ran at the end of November that we got a ton of signups and a very, very small number of those people canceled after their free month or their it was discounted. We offered it for $3.99. It wasn't free. So we offered $3.99 for a full month. It was the first time we'd ever done it. And we had tons of people sign up and we had tons of those people stick around after the month was up. So if you look at 700 and let's just say 700,000 subscribers that they had the last time they announced their numbers, you run a special where you put in your credit card and you get a full month for free. You know, I know because I saw it happen on my own website. Tons of those people that do this are going to stick with that $9.99. So you're adding people there. Number two, this involves when they opened up the entire rest of the world, the UK, very, very passionate fans. The fans in Ireland, the fans all over the world are added into this 700,000 number. And you're adding in all of the people that have the WWE Network in Canada right now when they moved to Rogers Cable. And they, if you recall correctly, when they opened up Canada on a traditional television channel, they were stunned with the number of people that signed up. It was way more than they expected. And we heard about this long before the Royal Rumble. Then you add on top of that all of the signups that they got on Royal Rumble weekend and after the Royal Rumble. And if you add in all the Canadian television subscribers, all the people in the UK and Ireland, all the people in the United States, they're at 1 million, dude.
Well, I'm glad you said that because then that makes it worse. So you're saying, you know, in what, October, they announced 730,000. That means they open it up to those markets with those passionate fans, and you only pick up 270,000 people?
That's right.
That in some ways is actually then worse.
Well, did you really expect them to get 2 million worldwide? Because I never did.
No, absolutely not. But again, to tout that number and then just, you know, in the shadow go, oh, well, yeah, you know, but don't see, you know, what's behind the curtain over here. In some ways, that makes it worse. And again, this really basically means nothing, although we're talking about it. This will mean nothing until after WrestleMania to see how many people they actually hold on to when they go into that malaise like they have done year after year after year, and there is zero interest whatsoever because they give you no interest whatsoever in the product until SummerSlam.
Well, I will tell you right now that they're going to get a ton of signups around WrestleMania, and when WrestleMania ends and they get that post-WrestleMania malaise, I will predict that in the whenever they announce the June, July, August numbers, I would say that around June, they will have about 950,000 subscribers worldwide. And let me tell you something, and everybody, about this network. As much as people think this network is a failure and these network numbers are not great, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that these numbers are awesome, but I'm going to tell you this. Part of the reason that they haven't had the best year financially, as much as we talk about Raw and Royal Rumble and everything like that, part of the problem is because they went into this, they barreled into this headlong, and they made some bad decisions at the beginning. If they had announced that the network was exactly as the network is today, if they had provided a little bit more content than they provided at the beginning, if they'd had more of the Attitude Era Raws and Nitros and maybe some more stuff for the historical fans, and the network has got a lot of stuff on it right now. If they'd launched closer to what they've got right now than what they did at the beginning, and if they had announced that you will get every pay-per-view free except for the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. Those are going to remain on traditional pay-per-view.
Even just Mania.
Even just WrestleMania. This company would be rolling in money right now. If they had done what UFC did, actually, let's go back even further. Let's just say you're going to get all of this stuff on the network. You're going to get 8 pay-per-views free, but Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam are going to stay on traditional pay-per-view. This company would be rolling in money right now, but they made the big mistake of offering all of those pay-per-views for free. I don't think that they would have significantly fewer network subscribers now than they do now if they had just made 4 pay-per-views, pay-per-view only. They would be making so much money, but they screwed up, they jumped in headlong, and now they're trying to dig their way out of this hole. These network numbers and these finances right now, I mean, listen, I'll be the first guy to tell you that their booking of the mid-card, their booking of, I mean, a lot of this sucks. But they've got a very, very stable business, and if they had not gotten into this network the wrong way, they would be making a ton of money right now. But they made one big mistake, and now they got to dig their way out of that hole.
Well, they made a couple big mistakes. One of the biggest mistakes they had was believe that incredibly stupid survey that apparently legitimately somebody in that company believed that, like, what, 1 in every 1.5 people was a WWE fan or whatever the ridiculous number was. But, yeah, talked about it on here. I mean, Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao seems to be like it's going to actually, believe it or not, take place. I fully believe that that pay-per-view is going to be $99.99. WrestleMania in HD is about $75 every year. That's the one big mistake they made. Was putting that on there. And I understand it even a little bit last year with the fact that you wanted to really roll out this network strong. But that was a really poor decision to make. But good news is coming. Mid-South looks like it's going to be on there in February.
All right, we got to head to a break. I want to apologize to all of the callers on the line. We just didn't have time today. But tomorrow, you can give us a call back and get on the air. Back in a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Back here for the final segment of the show, Wrestling Observer Live, Brian Alvarez, joined by Mike Sempervivi. And Mike, who's winning the Super Bowl tomorrow?
The Seattle Seahawks, of course, if for no other reason. Misha Tate looked far better in her Seattle Seahawks gear, including those socks she was rocking, than Dana White did in that sorry-looking New England Patriots shirt that he had on.
I didn't see this. I'll have to look it up. That's right, tomorrow's the Super Bowl, everybody, and at 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern, we will be here live for 1 hour tomorrow, and then you guys can all go and watch the Super Bowl. I'll be doing my annual live tweeting, play-by-play of the Super Bowl, a big everybody loves when I talk about the Super Bowl on Twitter. The one time I watch football every year, I'll be live tweeting it tomorrow at Brian Alvarez. Mike, by the way, is at Sempervivi. Don't forget tonight, only for subscribers, huge show coming up with Dave Meltzer. Dave is in Las Vegas. He will be live at the Anderson Silva Nick Diaz show tonight. And later on this evening, only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com, Dave and I will be doing a brand new show talking that fight, all of the news leading into the weekend, and there is a ton of news we didn't get a chance to talk about here today. That is tonight. And again, we'll be back tomorrow. Monday, of course, is Raw, and of course, the big announcement, whatever Triple H's big announcement is, that is going to be on Raw Monday. And then a couple of weeks later, starting February 23rd, we will be live Monday through Friday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, here on Sports Byline USA. Today's show is going to replay at 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern on Sports Byline USA. The download will also be up for members of the website here in a couple of minutes, so check that out. And certainly tomorrow we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about, more about the Royal Rumble, we'll take your phone calls, and all that other good stuff. So we will see you all tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, at Sports Byline. Mike, as always, listeners and callers, thanks so much. Talk to you tomorrow. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.